Hi, everybody. This is Thomas Stone from Terminal Economics. I had a gentleman email me asking me my argument for the opinion of 2027 as kind of a drop-dead date as for us to be prepared for anything, including the Great Tribulation. I submit to you that the Great Reset is indeed what I would suggest to be the Great Tribulation. And why do I equate the two with one another? Well, I read the objectives and observe and listen to the interviews and those who are the spokesman puppets for these Great Reset objectives. And I can't help but observe the similarities between what is described, what I would say the Great Tribulation would be. And don't look for any pre-trib rapture. That is a bunch of bunk given to us by the adversary who has formulated the Great Reset objectives because they don't want the Christians, the true biblical Christians, they don't want them being ready. This is why I've always recommended you for the average person to get out of the churches because there's no more truth. Now, if you are an independent pastor or you have an independent pastor in which you attend church, biblically oriented, using the old as well as the new, the scriptures in its entirety, I predominantly stick with the King James for myself. To me, it is the it's the one I feel the much more comfortable with than any other version that I've come across. If I'm not telling you to leave all churches, but all of the church institutions have been corrupted. All of the Protestant denominations, and especially the Catholic Church. Now, I'm not here to tell you that if you're Catholic, you're going to rot in hell. I'm not telling you if you're Lutheran or Episcopalian or you're a Baptist, you're going to rot in hell. I'm not telling you that. There's a lot of good people who are just being deceived. Now, the Bible tells us that we're going to be deceived. And I see the world quickly being established in a sense that they'll be very receptive when the time comes to the objectives of the Great Reset. Now, 5 years ago, I never would have claimed this. 5 years ago, I was thinking probably it wouldn't even happen in my lifetime. I'm basically 58 in another week. And so I thought I was going to be able to ride it out like Hezekiah, right? I get a grant. I've had an easy life. I didn't have to fight in a war. I've had a time of plenty growing up in the 60s and 70s. Life was good, and I took it all for granted. And I feel sorry for the people who are growing up today. But we've had to endure the manufactured crisis of COVID. And for you who are young enough, I remember all of the manufactured crises going back to probably the first one that I recall is the stock market crash of 87. I was still undergraduate at the time, but I was in economics and I was taking some upper level corporate finance classes at the time. So I remember back in the fall of 87, and we've had one crisis after another. 2001, we had 9/11. That was a crisis in which I personally had to experience myself. And then we all experienced the 2008 crash and economic collapses in which the central banks began to slowly take over and kind of re-engineer the financial and monetary system. On the surface, to a lot of people, the monetary and economic system is quite substantially similar to years past. But to those with a trained eye, I can tell you that that is certainly not the case. The economy has been collapsing. We're not looking for some watershed economic collapse, nor do I think there will be any proverbial economic collapse that a lot of these eschatological analysts theorize. The economy has been collapsing for decades. I used my analogy of when I was a child and thought about the middle class lifestyle that I took for granted, but I would look back and say that I enjoyed a stay-at-home mother and five children. I had four sisters, and I was the middle child, and I was the only son. My dad worked a menial job. He dropped out of high school at 16, worked, carpentry jobs, not in the union, so he never made much money, but he was able to buy a house on Long Island on an acre of land, had a mother that stayed home, raised five children. I didn't take out a student loan to attend a public university on Long Island, and I got a very good education. Economics, applied math, it was very good where I went at Stony Brook undergraduate. So life was a lot easier and it was much more homogeneous. I didn't have to worry about racism. There wasn't all the calls of racism and social justice. We just took things for granted. We were still simple. We were inhibited sexually. We weren't, it was still very taboo, even in the early 80s. And we weren't as promiscuous as they are today. Thank God there wasn't any social media. But the crowds of populations, the multicolors, the multi-breeds, they are obsessed with victimhood and learned helplessness. And in the wake of the COVID crisis, which I was very shocked and dismayed to observe how humanity responded or reacted, I should say, kind of like lab rats in an experiment. I've kind of reconfigured my trajectory. I had been on my blog at least and writing on other websites for since late 2012, giving my advice and what we should expect. And I always mentioned that a force majeure would be in the cards to get rid of the dollar-based system, that if these powers that be wanted to get rid of the dollar and the dollar-based system, the only way they could effectively do so would have kind of an embarrassing military defeat of the United States. And it put the wheels in motion to reconfigure my trajectory. And the reason why I'm putting out this podcast is because of the person who asked me about 2027 and why I thought there was a drop-dead date for 2027. I think in my old blog I put June 30th, 2027. The man asked me, "What's your opinion for having such a date?" Well, I guess he probably was a newcomer to my blog. If you have been analyzing my research for the past, since COVID, since the monetary and fiscal stimulus of March 2020, reconfigured my timeline. I had always theorized for years now prior to COVID that as we got closer to my theorized force majeure, that the monetary and fiscal authorities would ramp up the consolidation of power and time for the Great Reset, or what I would call the Great Tribulation. They're one and the same, in my view. And in order to shepherd the world through that threshold into the New World Order, or what we consider the beginning of that Great Reset, the wealth and power of the world needed to be consolidated to such an extent that there would be no dissenting views. Right now, there's still dissension. You know, we have Alex Jones. Alex Jones is controlled. So up till now, the powers that be have been controlling the dissension, but they know the dissension is there. And in order to make the world operate more uniformly across the nations, and throughout the world, they needed to get all of the nations of the world together. And social media and the internet has accomplished much of that. I know, for instance, we see people migrating across borders. I see all these people. They say, we're immigrating there, we're migrating there, we're going to marry a foreigner in this country, we're going to marry that foreigner in a country. This is completely antithetical to what the Bible has told us to do. These rules about staying with kind people was not overturned with Jesus dying on the cross. That was still in effect. And the reason why the scriptures were adamant about this was because this was our our need to stay with like kind people was to help ensure that we did not ever have a one world government. But now, because of the social justice and the racism that is being perpetrated on and engineered on purpose by our adversary, has everybody mixing up with everybody and fighting amongst one another about this and that, about meaningless trivial stuff. The one world government of iron and clay in Daniel actually comes into view and is now emerging. And I ask certain existential questions, for instance, why does the nation state still exist? Why is there a nation state if everybody can live in peace and harmony and everybody's the same and equal? Why is there a country? Why is there national borders? And these have quickly been melting away as I'd say a solid two generations of people have been educated in a socialist, one world, new world order, Marxist type of philosophy. So COVID accelerated the concentration of the wealth and power. Anyone can look on the statistics, go to Fred, St. Louis Fed, or any of the wealth statistics, and you'll see household wealth is great consolidation, and the wealth and power is greatly consolidated over the past just 2 to 3 years. We look at the power consolidation at a central locus, and we can entertain who may be at the top of that pyramid. I submit to you, it is Lucifer. Lucifer or Satan knows his time is running short, and he's running his agenda and objectives through his servants, the synagogue of Satan, and those who do his bidding. Don't underestimate that these people don't think like you and I think. They actually want a new system, and they believe that Lucifer is is the bearer of truth. So we must not mistake taking our mind and thinking everyone else is going to be the same. We can't say, what is that person thinking? Why is he so evil? Doesn't he understand that he's going to have to stand in the judgment? No, you and I think like that. That person is completely reprobate, just like Paul said, and the Bible said that we would all be reprobate. The world would be reprobate in there, at the end, and the people would be doing what was convenient in their own eyes and mind. That's what we're seeing today. But I submit that the wealth and power consolidation has greatly accelerated just since 2020, and the COVID manufactured COVID scam was kind of a dumping ground for all the objectives to be promoted and accelerated going out, what I'd say, to 2030. So where do I get the opinion of 2027, June 30th, 2027, being that drop-dead date? Well, part of it is arbitrary. I picked June 30th. That was just the middle of the year. I could have picked the Feast of Trumpets in 2027. I think it was October 1st or something like that. I could have picked another year. But basically what I wanted to do in my old blog when I put a countdown clock to June 30th, 2027 is to warn the reader, warn the follower of my blog, the subscriber, those who look at my analysis, to take heed, to take warning. And we only have to that time before we are insured, or not even insured, but we could be most likely and sure that we can operate until that point. I think anytime after June 30th, 2027, will be God's gift to us that we can still operate. And so I see the wealth and power consolidation. I see the trajectory. I see how it's accelerated, and they've burned the fiscal and monetary bridges behind them, these monetary and fiscal authorities in government and so forth, and in the running the central banks. And I extrapolate out and I say, well, they have a few more years left. I'd say they have 2 to 3 more solid years that they're able to accomplish what they want to accomplish. And then I would have to suggest that they're not going to be able to continue it much longer. So look, I say anywhere from 25, I say anywhere from the end of 2025 to 2027, they probably are going to have to figure something else out with this monetary system. I also look, now that's the first thing. The second thing I look at is the acceleration in the sicknesses and diseases and the infirmities of the people who have gotten these COVID jabs. It's clear to me that the problems of the people who have gotten bioweapon injections due to the COVID, they're everlasting. I don't know of anybody who has gotten sick from these injections that have actually really gotten any better. They might have a respite in their symptoms, but they're not over it. And you're talking now, it's close to 3 years later. Next year, the first half of next year will be 3 solid years. And actually, the morbidities and the everlasting sicknesses seem to be increasing. They're not decreasing per se. And I look at sometimes in the employment markets and the unemployment data, it's still peculiar. There's still a lot going on that these monetary and fiscal authorities and government authorities still can't seem, they seem nonplussed with regards to all of the stuff that's going on with the employment data. I look also, I belonged to the Catholic Church when I was young. This is my third thought, my third idea. Don't get offended like everyone else if I start talking down about the Catholic Church. There's a lot of good people. My father was Catholic to the day he dropped dead, and I grew up Catholic, and you know, we were very Jesus focused, so it wasn't like we were really praying to all the statues and so forth. But what I'm saying is, I left the Catholic Church probably close to about 20 years ago. I never looked back. But the thing is that there's a lot of evil that enters into the church hierarchy. The largest contention I have with the church hierarchy with regard to the Catholic Church is its governmental structure and its hierarchy. I cannot think of a more seductive place for evil to enter the world and to destroy the souls of many than through the Catholic Church hierarchy. I can't think of one institution that a person who's completely evil could have the most effect of ruining the souls of the many than becoming, say, for instance, a cardinal or a pope. And so that's what we're seeing today. I look at the prophecy of the popes, and I look to see the final pope, which is number 112, Petrus Romanus. In the great persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will sit Peter the Roman, who will pasture his sheep through many tribulations. And when these things are finished, the city of seven hills will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge his people. The end. This is a prophecy that goes back a long way, and I cannot think of a more quintessential example of evil that is walking this planet today than Pope Francis. Through flattering words, he will destroy many. He's doing the work of his father, the devil. People say, well, doesn't Pope Francis know that being a homosexual and miscegenation and social justice and climate change is nothing but devil doctrine? Yeah, he knows, because he's not Catholic. He's certainly not Christian, and he does not speak well of Jesus. He speaks well of all other religions except Catholicism. He tells Catholics not to proselytize and not to go on missions and not to preach the gospel and not to pray for Jesus. Why do you think that is? That's because he does his work of the father, the devil. He does the work of his father, the devil. He's part of the synagogue of Satan. He's a Freemason, a Jesuit. and he knows exactly what he's doing. If I wanted to destroy the souls of many, I would become a televangelist. I'd become a preacher like, what's his face? So many of these televangelists over the years. And I would introduce different doctrines. I would say the Old Testament was nailed to a cross. I would say there's no difference in the races and that it's okay to marry different peoples. It's okay to do all these things, even though the Bible was explicit on it, and it has nothing to do with racism. God created the different races and peoples and cultures as a barrier to the formation of a one-world government. And it's through the enemy's control of its media has convinced us that we could all intermarry and interbreed and do whatever. And so we have this weak matrix that is fortified by a powerful central locus that works through the governments and social media and through the corporate hierarchy, and now through the church hierarchy. So I see these things. I see the Pope. I see the prophecy of the popes, and I see how the Catholic Church has kind of operated according to the prophecy of the popes. Well, there's number 112, Petrus Romanus. I also analyze the number 4. I analyze how the military campaigns have been unfolding. I look and observe how some of these military strategists, and I can't help but sometimes I look at, there's a lot of contentions I take with Joel Skousen, for instance, but I look at his analysis and observe regarding CCP China and how he's been saying that by 2027 they'll have a complete standing navy, similar in size and scope to the United States, and they're working feverishly right now to do what they need to do to make certain that by 2027 they'll be prepared for a global conflict. This is what CCP's military is saying. 2027, they'll be ready. I look to observe and see the growing, unfolding table, the tableau, the framework in which I would suspect the most likely outcome for a global conflict, according to the unfolding alliances, will take place. And I can't help but observe to see Ezekiel 38 and 39 unfolding. Now, I have an untainted, a politically irreverent view of the ancient names and how they apply to today. Now, the churches today, they'll tell you that that's all hung on a tree. Even Pastor Baldwin will tell you all this stuff. Hoggard, they'll tell you it's all, but they'll talk about the aliens, or they'll talk about how the Freemasons set up the evil United States to be Babylon and so forth like that. You and I have talked about this in the past. Now, the guy who asked me about my opinion about this obviously has not done my research. He just says it's an opinion. But if he was a reader of my blog before I closed it down, he would have known why I claimed 2027 to be that kind of proverbial year in which that be for the remnant, we need to be done. We need to be finished with our plans. 2027. I would submit to you that if you're a Christian, a biblical Christian, and we've been on this planet for 6,000 years, and the seventh 6,000 years, and on the seventh day God rested, which would be 2,000 years after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And when was that? It was 33 AD, but actually I think it was actually before that, because Jesus was probably born anywhere from 3 to 5 years before year 1 or year 0. The Gregorian calendar was incorrect. So if you're looking 2,000 years since Jesus' ministry and his death, you're probably looking at anywhere from 2027 to 2033. So if you're a Christian and you understand what I'm talking about, we've been on this planet for 6,000 years, I submit to you that it's game on. Anytime from 2027 onward, it's going to be full-bore persecution for the Christian church. So, look, my recommendations, we have standing orders. You have to step. Look, it was a dry run. The COVID scam and the resulting vaccine campaign was a dry run for Christians. It was a blessing in disguise for those who did not get injected and left the workforce. We're going to have to endure this, because you know eventually during the Great Reset, you're going to have mandatory injections. The world is now receptive to this inevitability, and they will do it again. 80% of American adults took at least one injection. I'm talking about adults. 80% of American adults took at least one COVID injection, and most of it, they did it out of fear, and they did it to keep their jobs. So when it comes time, we have the force majeure later in the decade with the global conflict. You could tell that they're going to proffer it as saying it's the terrible Christians, it's religion. The FBI has talked about for the past 2,000 years, all wars were fought over religion. And taken in a disingenuous light, the FBI's training is actually correct to a large extent. Of course, it was prodded and poked and prodded and manufactured by the synagogue of Satan itself. But the global conflict will be blamed on religion. And so you're going to have to renounce your religion or your faith. They're probably going to track and trace everybody with subdermal chips. The King James says it'll be a mark in the right hand or the forehead. The newer versions say on, but that is not the case. It's in. The older versions all say in. Even the Latin Vulgate says in. Even though the Catholic Church tells you that it's already taken place, it's amillennial, or it all transpired in 71 AD, which is absolute garbage, because so many other aspects of the prophecies that were outlined in the Bible have yet to take place. So when it does take place, it's going to be rapid fire succession. Now, you could say, was it going to be because this is ordained, or it's going to be manufactured? I submit that the synagogue of Satan is manufacturing. I think this whole false Israel-Hamas Palestinian conflict is all manufactured, yet it's very real. I'm not telling you it's fake. It's real. It was manufactured, just like 9/11 was manufactured, yet I stood and watched the towers collapse. It was very real. I lost a number of friends and colleagues that day. It was very real. I remember living in Union Square. It smelled like death when I had to go down to the post office box. My P.O. box was in Bowling Green Station, because that's where I used to work down there. And I used to have to walk down there because the subway was severed, the 1 and the 9 line, and the 4 line was all, it was damaged. And I could smell the burning, I could smell the bodies. And they had perfume, and they were trying to cover up the death. There was a couple of thousand bodies in that rubble, and they were cleaning that up a couple of weeks later. So what I'm trying to get at is this stuff is, though it's manufactured, it's very real to the man on the street. The economic and financial crises are manufactured, but they're very real to the man and the woman on the street. And so you see the... I'm concerned that the birth rates are collapsing. I think a lot of the people are sterile, and a lot of these younger folk are not going to be able to have children. And if they do, these children will have everlasting problems because of the spike protein and the mRNA injections and the DNA that was put into purposely on into these vaccines and these bioweapon injections. There was no experimental experiments done. This was done with military precision. I look at the stock prices of Pfizer and Moderna, and it kind of reflective. I think there's a growing consensus out there that these mRNA injections were a complete fabrication, and that they and that the world was misled. But you've had 6 billion people take these injections, and the people aren't getting better. And so I extrapolate out into the future with the pale horse of death and disease, and the black horse with the economic destruction and the wealth and power consolidation, which is kind of largely congruent with the description of the end time economic system in the Revelation, what we see today. And then I see the red horse being ramped up, but the red horse in Revelation is largely congruent to the sides I'm seeing in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And how China's CCP is saying that by 2027, they will have a sizable freestanding navy that will be equivalent in size to the United States government. And they'll be ready for a manifold global conflict on more than one front. 2027, they've talked about this. The prophecy of the popes, 2027. 2,000 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, 2027 onward will be 2,000 years, depending on your stance on the Gregorian calendar, according to, I think it was Pope John the 23rd, I'm going by memory, mentioned 2,000 years after the death of Christ. He said 2033. Pope Benedict said there was errors in the Gregorian calendar, and that Jesus was born anywhere from 3 to 7 years prior to year one in the Gregorian calendar. So I look and observe these little symptoms, these signs that are taking place all at once, and that's why I come up with June 30th, 2027. So my advice to you is standing orders to continue becoming as financially self-sufficient as possible. I think the two most important things, the three most important things for us, the three most important aspects for us are, one, to be fiscally and financially self-sovereign. So not to be dependent on a job, not be dependent on the government for money. Try to make your own money. And this is why I've been talking about being the asset owner. And for Average Joe Sixpack, it's always about, for me, the easiest way is being a property manager, landlord, right? Being the asset owner, and you can generate some income that way. Number two is being as healthy as possible without the need of doctors. It's clear to me that the doctors and the hospitals and the medical system is not going to make you sick. I mean, not going to make you well. It's going to make you sick. It's going to keep you sick. Their recommendations are now completely antithetical to your physical well-being. The psychological profession is doing everything it can do to make the people ensnared in its system and to make the people mentally ill. And just look around you. You see the people. It's a lot different than what it used to be. And the Bible has been replaced with the DSM-5 of the American Psychiatric Association. And so you want to be as physically healthy as possible, mentally healthy as possible, financially healthy as possible, and independent of the establishment's systems as possible. And of course, you want to be spiritually independent as possible. Don't depend on the established churches. I've always said I'm a Jesus man. I read the Bible. I stick to the scriptures. And that's what I do. And I stay with like-kind people. You know, it's the people, it's a whole irony of these NT-only Christians, like a Bart Sobrell. What did he do? He hates the one world government. He hates this end time regime, and he's talking whimsically about a catastrophe of wormwood striking and Apophis striking and the preparation of culling the population with the jabs. And he's right in a lot of respects. Maybe there is an Apophis coming that, you know, maybe the powers that be already know. I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate on that. But I can tell you this much. What does he do? He embraces the NT-only crowd. So what does he do? He moves to the Philippines and marries a Filipino woman. I can't think of a more self-loathing philosophy than to marry outside your kind. If I were a black guy, guess who my wife would be? She'd be black. If I were a Hispanic guy, guess who I'd be marrying? I'd be marrying some little chickadee from Mexico or from South America. I marry my own kind, and I would suggest you doing the same, and for only one reason. When we stick together and the populations don't mix, it's virtually impossible for the synagogue of Satan to create their matrix of iron and clay for a one-world government. That's it. That's the only reason why I tell you to stay with your kind. There's no other reason. You can't create a nation, never once in recorded history, except for, actually once. During the formation of the tower and the building of the Tower of Babel, they brought all the different cultures and peoples together, and guess what happened? It all fell under its own weight. God had enough. He put his foot down, just like he's doing now. Never in recorded history has there ever been a good, powerful nation that maintained itself over the generations when they brought all different cultures, religions, races, and peoples, and philosophies together. It's never worked. Democracies don't work. That's a tool of the devil. Because for every person that is intelligent and savvy and understanding and knows what's going on, there are three others, four others who have no clue and who vote according to their belly. Again, June 30th, 2027. It sounds rather arbitrary, but there is substance to it. Like I said, I could have used the Feast of Trumpets of October 1st of 2027. I'm not any of these Hebrew roots crap. And it could be 2030. But I can tell you this much, looking at the objectives of the Great Reset going for 2030, there's too much of these objectives that are too incompatible to Christianity, to remnant biblical Christianity. A true remnant Christian is not going to be able to live under the conditions that have been promised to us by the engineers of the Great Reset. They're too incongruent. And so June 30th, 2027, get your old ducks in a row. I would recommend it actually getting it in by the end of 2025. All we need is one more crisis, one more catalyst. There's a calm before the storm. Go out and buy your rental properties in more remote areas. Do what you have to do to prepare. And I would submit to you that much of it, since the Bible says it's going to be buying and selling, that's going to be the problem, to become as self-sufficient financially as possible. Because I can tell you this much, if you are a wage slave and you're dependent on having to take injections or performing antichrist functions for your employer, or renouncing whatever philosophy that you truly hold dear in your heart, you're not going to make it. And so this blog, I'm hoping that you can somehow figure it out, that you can make it. All right, so that answered that question. If you have any questions, just shoot me an email. Until next time, peace, God bless, Godspeed. Thomas Stone, out.